No announcements. We're going to get right into God's Word tonight, okay? If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. Everybody got their Bible? Okay. Psalm 119. Fasten your seatbelts. Now my wife, Tina, she always says when I struggle with teaching a certain section of Scripture, she said, just read it. It's God's Word. So tonight I'll just read it. It's God's Word. Now we'll expound a little bit along the way, lay a foundation, you know, as far as the background and all. And then we're going to see if we can get through 176 verses in 3-4 hours. So we'll be all right. Thanks for coming tonight. Even though you knew in advance, huh, that we were going to be... You're probably just here out of curiosity, see if we can get this done. So, but I can probably get through Psalm 119 quicker than Roman can get through the book of Revelation. All right. Quicker than Roman can get through one chapter of the book of Revelation. The guy's really in depth, though. Friday night, if you're going to be there, he's going to do the word it. So, you know. I know, he'll get even. He'll have his shot at me, so. I won't invite him to fill in for me for a while. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into God's Word tonight, Psalm 119. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And even as we look at the longest psalm and the longest chapter in all of Scripture, it is such a blessing, Lord, because it's all about the meditations on the excellencies of the Word of God. The longest chapter is on your Word, Lord. What the Bible is, what the Bible does, and what we must do with the Bible. How awesome is that? And so tonight, Lord, as we get into your Word, I just pray that your Word would speak to us, that we would get excited about the precious Holy Scriptures that we have even in our laps tonight. And that it would just go a step further than that. Lord, that it would go from the pages of this book and be hidden within our hearts, that we might not sin against you, even as one of the verses says tonight. We can cleanse our ways through the washing of the Word. And so tonight, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. And Lord, may we not rush through it, but just meander through your Word tonight. And ask that you would speak to us, and we would just marvel at the wonders and the excellencies of your Word. Thank you for giving it to us, Lord, along with the person of the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us in all truth. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us as the Great Shepherd tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick introduction. And as you know, over the past 118 weeks, or psalms that we've done, I've often emphasized the uniqueness of this wonderful book called the Psalms. Every psalm is unique, and every psalm is special in a unique and a special way, isn't it? That's one of the hardest things about teaching the book of Psalms. There's over 100 different emotions. There's peaks, there's valleys, there's all kinds of different things that go on every week. It's just a new thing. And here we see the longest psalm, 176 verses. And as you've noticed, it is also an acrostic psalm. What is an acrostic psalm? It means that every section, we have a break with one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Where there are 26 letters in our alphabet in English, there are only 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, which tells us that there are 22 sections of Psalm 119. Even cooler yet, each verse, each section begins with the Hebrew letter of that section. If you had a Hebrew translation before you, in the first verse we have Aleph, which is A, of course, in the Hebrew alphabet. And the beginning of every verse begins with Aleph, or A. Beth, same thing with B, and all the way through. And why would they do that? So that it would be easy for the Jewish people to memorize it. And so again, don't you just marvel at the intricacy of God's Word and the perfection that we find? And so what we do not know about this psalm is who the writer is. It doesn't say. It's kind of open-ended. But what we do learn from this psalm is that whoever he is that wrote this psalm was going through much suffering, as we'll see in a few of the verses here tonight. And the reason that he was going through much suffering was for the Word of God. And he was determined to obey God's Word, as we'll see. Every yacht, every tittle, he is just given by the inspiration of God. And you can see just the love that he had for the Word of God, no matter what the cost may be. It just seems to me, the cost of this precious book that we have in our laps, I believe, is going to increase in America very soon. I believe that one day, if we continue on the path that we're on, it will be a crime, as it is in many nations throughout the world, to have a copy of this book. And so we need to recognize and realize, first of all, the precious price that was paid for this book here in this nation. And one day, you know what, we may have to lay it all on the line for the Word of God. You will find also in this psalm that all but five verses mention the Word of God. 171 verses mention the Word itself in different ways. But in every verse, there is made mention of the person of God. The person of God is mentioned in all 176 verses. How cool is that? Also, another unique characteristic of Psalm 119 is the number 8. Now, we don't get into numerology, but it just happens to be laid out this way. The number 8 in Scripture speaks of new beginnings. It also means in Hebrew, more than enough. And so you will notice that in each section that's given with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, there are 8 verses that go along with it. Times 22, what do you get? 176. Also, with the number 8, there are 8 special names for the Word of God. I'm not going to lay them all out before you tonight. We'll see them as we go. There are 8 symbols of God's Word. There are 8 responsibilities of the believer to the Word of God. And that's going to be part of the message and the way that I've laid out this chapter and teaching it tonight, because one of the things that we're going to look at in Psalm 119 is what we must do with this psalm, what we must do with the Word of God, with the Bible. Also, there are 8 titles of the Bible given in the first 9 verses. We will see that it's the law of the Lord, the testimony, the ways, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, and word. And we'll see those 8 titles of the Bible mentioned all through this psalm. Now, this is the way we're going to break this down tonight. I thought, well, I could go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the whole thing and expound on every verse, and that would be a real challenge, wouldn't it? But in order to get through this extra large, supersized chapter tonight, I'm going to divide it into 3 parts, okay? Here are the 3 parts if you're taking notes. The first part we will look at, we'll look at the verses of what the Bible is, according to what the psalmist lays out here tonight. Then we'll come back and we'll see what the Bible does. Thirdly, we'll look at those verses which represent what we must do with the Bible. And it's amazing how in those 3 different ways we have this beautiful psalm. What the Bible is, what the Bible does, what we must do with the Bible. And isn't it great that the longest chapter about the Word of God lays it out so wonderfully in those 3 ways? God's Word, what it does, and what we are to do with it. So what we're going to do here right off the bat is look at the first section, verse 1, and it has to do with what the Bible is, and this is what the writer says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. So that first section has to do with what the Bible does. What does it do? It is a blessing for those who keep the Bible's testimonies. That's what the Bible does. The next time that is mentioned of what the Bible does is down in verse 25. And this is what the writer says. My soul clings to the dust. revive me according to your word. And so the second thing that we find in the section, of course, of what the Bible does, the Bible revives us. Even when our soul is dry and as it says, they're clinging to the dust. One of the marvelous things about what the Bible does is it revives us. Verse 28, we find the third mention of what the Bible does. He says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. So we see a couple more things there in reference to what the Bible does. It strengthens us. We gain strength from the Bible. We need to be strengthened. Even as we pray, give us this day our daily bread physically, we also need our daily bread and strength spiritually. And it is the Word of God that strengthens us. It says there, strengthen me according to your word. And he also says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. So the Bible also removes from us, when we know the truth of God's word, it removes the way of lying from us. Continuing with that same thought of what the Bible does, verses 37 through 41. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. So we see there that the Word of God revives us. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. And so it's the word of the Lord that establishes us, the servants of God. Verse 39, what the Bible does. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. And we know that the judgments of God, which we find in the Bible, are good, aren't they? And verse 40 of what the Bible does. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And then again, we see how the Word of God, when we meditate upon it, which is, by the way, the superscription of this psalm, meditating on the excellencies of the Word of God, when we meditate on God's Word, it revives us in righteousness. And righteousness, of course, is that which is right. Verse 41, what the Bible does. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. And guess what? It is through the Bible that we learn God's plan of salvation, don't we? And we've learned in the Psalms that word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. And Yeshua is the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus in Greek. And so we see there that the Bible, again, in the wonderful things that it does, salvation comes through the word of God according to his word. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I see your precepts. And so we see in what the Bible does, we can walk in liberty. That means to be liberated. Everybody in the world is looking to be liberated today, aren't they? Who are the most liberated people on the planet? He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're free. They're in bondage looking for liberation. They're looking to the right, looking to the left. Why don't they look up if they really want to be truly liberated? God will give them liberty. Verse 49, we see what the Bible does. The psalmist says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. And so we see two or three things, right, that the Bible does in those two verses. It gives us hope. It causes us as God's servants to have hope. I always point hopeless people to where hope comes from. Where does our hope come from? It comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Where do we find out about that hope? In the Word of God. God's living testimony of himself. In verse 50, comfort in our affliction comes from the Bible, the Word of God. It's the only book on the planet that can bring true comfort, right? The words of eternal life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Where do you go for comfort? I go to the Word. I go to the promises of God. I go to the place where there's stability and a world that's shaking, rocking and rolling. And that's where I find comfort in my affliction. He says, for your word has given me life. What did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall I go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. And so again, we see what the Bible does, don't we? The Bible gives us life. God's Word gives us life. Why? Because even the very Scriptures, Paul said, are God-breathed. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, meaning that God's Word is breathed. It gives us life. It's God-breathed. Verse 58, what the Bible does. He says, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. And it's the word of God that brings us mercy, isn't it? That's not getting what we deserve. Verse 63, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. And so we see that God's word teaches us his statutes, his precepts, his ways. How do we know the ways of the Lord? By reading the Word of God. Verse 65 and 66, what the Bible does. The psalmist says, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. And so again, we see what the Word of God does, what the Bible does. He teaches us. He gives us good judgment. He gives us knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge in the world, but a lot of it is secular. We go to God's Word for knowledge, and we also go to His Word for wisdom. And so the Bible gives us that as well, doesn't it? Verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Again, we see that the Bible teaches us the statutes of God. 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And again, through the Bible, through the Word of God, even through the times of affliction, we learn, even through the Word of God, God's purpose in affliction upon our lives. Verse 73 to 77, what the Bible does. He says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And it's from the Bible that we learn, right, that we were made by God, that we were knit by God in our mother's womb. And the psalmist even lays that out before us. How do we know that? Through God's word. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. And again, you see what the word of God does? We have hope in it. He says, I know, O Lord, verse 75, that your judgments are right. And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I might live, for your law is my delight. And again, we see comfort in time of affliction. We see God's mercy. We see God's kindness. We see how the psalmist says that he delights in the law of God. No, we don't live under the law anymore, but we do live under the Word of God. And we know that the law was a schoolmaster to show us that we needed to be saved. It was a tutor, Paul said, to show us that we needed salvation. And isn't it wonderful? Even the law of the Lord, it's perfect, Psalm 19 says, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are pure, making wise the simple. And so we see here again where he says, your law is my delight. I never thought I would have an earthly treasure, a physical treasure in my hands that I would so delight as much as the Word of God. Material things in this world, yeah, we delight in them for a while, right? Till they break down or get stolen or they rust or get destroyed by moths or whatever. But we have the most precious possession here in the Word of God. And you know what? From day one, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to He calls you home, till graduation day, we can delight in God's Word. It's a delightful book. It's a delight to gather here together on Wednesdays and Sundays or Saturday mornings with the guys or whatever it might be, and we delight in God's Word. Every time we get together, guys, haven't things changed? We bust open the Bible now when we get together. Times have sure changed for a lot of us, haven't they? We delight in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I better move right along on that one. 79, what the Bible does. Let those who fear you turn to me, God says. Those who know your testimonies. And again, the Word of God turns us around. 81 and 82. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. In those times, and there are times for all of us when we feel as though our soul faints, don't we? You ever feel that way? It hasn't been that long for me since I've felt faint in my soul. But in those times, what do? It's amazing how when we have hope in God's word, even with a faint soul, we know that strength is coming. We know that God is going to sustain us. He's going to see us through. 82, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? I notice a lot of us are wearing glasses these days. When I got saved, I didn't wear glasses. I read more than I used to, and so do many of you. And we see here how the psalmist's eyes were failing him from searching the word. And you know, isn't it wonderful that God has allowed us the privilege of searching the Holy Scriptures? Being like the Bereans, remember in the book of Acts chapter 17, I believe around verse 11 or so, where it says that they searched the Scriptures daily to see that these things were true. And I would hope for all of us that this isn't where you get your meal, just Wednesdays for an hour and Sundays for an hour. I hope that you too search the Scriptures. And I hope that you really, find comfort in even when your soul is fainting, and that you can search the Word of God knowing that that's where our comfort comes from. We find in verse 88 what the Bible does. It revives us. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I might keep the testimony of your mouth. Verses 92 and 93. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. And you see what the Bible does? Because the law was his delight, he said, if I hadn't had the Word of God to hold on to, he just felt that he would have perished in his affliction. 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Isn't it amazing, over and over and over, the things that we see that the Bible does for us? And I would hope tonight that you would be encouraged just by this one psalm, and that you would recognize and realize how much of a blessing we have in the Holy Scriptures. That we wouldn't have to say, well, I've got to do my devotional in the morning. No, that we would say, man, I get to do my devotional tomorrow. Man, I get to go to Bible study on Friday night at the ranch. Man, I get to go to ladies, to the women's study that's coming up. Or men, that you would say, man, I get to go to men's prayer on Saturday. That we would delight in the very fact that we can gather together with God's people. And because it's God's Word that gives us life. Now we have about six verses in a row here, 97 to 102, that talk about what the Bible does. He says, oh, how I love your law. Speaking again of the Word. It is my meditation all day long, all the day long. I've mentioned before the word meditation, the original language means to chew the cud. It means we need to chew on the Word of God, to meditate upon it. He says, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Don't you get your mind blown sometimes at the wisdom God gives us in sometimes dangerous situations? And even in everyday life. Sometimes I'm just blown away that, you know, that God gives me wisdom in making decisions, and even in the things we say to people when they ask us questions about life, about things. And God, through His Word, gives us wisdom, and we're truly blessed. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And because of what the Bible does, he says, I understand more than the ancients. Because I have kept your precepts. That's true even today, isn't it? We know more about God's Word than Abraham did. Why? Because we've got all 66 books than Moses did. You know, Moses had the five books of Pentateuch, Genesis to Deuteronomy. But look what we've got. We've got all 66 books. And we're wiser than the ancients. We see more clearly not only what has happened in the past, with Christ concealed, but now we see what's happened since Christ has been revealed as the Messiah, and His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven. We see more than the ancients do because of this precious book that we have. We should be excited about that. A lot of the mysteries from the Old Testament have been revealed to us. How marvelous is that? And especially the fact that spiritual things have been revealed to us. The unbeliever cannot understand or comprehend spiritual things. Because the Apostle Paul said that, you know, those who are unregenerate cannot understand spiritual things. They're spiritually dead, but we are alive and we can understand these things. 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. And the word of God keeps us on track, right? We don't go running off in the wrong direction because of the word of God. He says, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. And God teaches us how? Through his word. 104, through your precepts, I get understanding. And isn't it great that we do get understanding from the precepts of God's word? Therefore, I hate every false way. I know a lot of us look at what's going on in the world today. We hate the things that we see. We hate the lies. We hate the deception. We hate, you know, all of the things that are going on that are contrary to the precepts and the scriptures of God's holy word. And it's funny, when you begin to know the truth of God and his word, it's all of a sudden when the bogus, phony, false stuff shows up, we really hate those things, don't we? Aren't you glad you know the truth? 107, I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. And again, that's the third or fourth time we've seen the word revive in time of affliction. As I mentioned, the psalmist, we do know that he was going through a time of affliction over the word of God. In 114, he says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And again, what the Bible does, it gives us hope. 116, uphold me according to your word that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. And it's the word of God that gives life, isn't it? The word of the Lord. Hold me up and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. God's word holds us up. 118. You reject all those who stray from your statutes. For their deceit is falsehood. And again, what does the Bible do? It keeps us from going astray with deception out there and falsehood. Verse 122 to 125 shows us what God's word does. He says, be surety for your servant, for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. And again, notice his eyes are failing and he's looking into the word of God and studying God's righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And so over and over and over, we see these wonderful things that God's word does for us. It gives us wisdom. It gives us understanding. We find mercy, through the testimonies of the Lord. 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. And isn't it through the word of God that we know that name which is above every other name? Even as I believe it's Peter tells us that we love him who we've never seen yet. Why? Because we know of him through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's one of the marvelous things that God's word does to us. God's word reveals to us the character and the nature and all that we, you know, has been given us that pertains to life and godliness about the Lord himself. 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. And isn't that great? Even in a world that's filled with deception and iniquity, that God will direct our steps. We'll see in the second part of Psalm 119 tonight that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we live in a world of darkness, and God's word sheds light upon the path so that we can walk, so we can be directed by his word every step that we take. 134, redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. And again, we see what the word of God does. 143, trouble and anguish have overtaken me. Yet, your commandments are my delight. The world can't say that. When trouble and anguish overtake them, where do they find their delight? They try to find it in something that will numb them from life. Many of us used to do that. Trouble and anguish. And you know, there's quite a few people in this fellowship that are going through troubled times. Going through times of anguish. But yet it's so wonderful to see you cleave to the Word of God and to delight in the commandments of God. We have His hope. We have His promise. We know the rest of the story, where the world can't say that when trouble and anguish come their way. We know that all things do work together for good for those who love God, because God's Word tells us in Romans 8:28. 149. Again, speaking of what the Bible does. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. And again, the Word of God revives. 154. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. And as I've mentioned many times, all God needs to say is just make one particular statement or comment in the Bible, right? And that's enough. But tonight, notice the number of times we've seen revive. You know, it's God's word that revives us. What does revive mean? It means to breathe life into something again that is, you know, maybe you're running on empty. Maybe you need to be revived. Revival is something that was once alive that needs life in it again. Notice 156, what the Word of God does. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Again, revive me according to your judgments. 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. You see what the Word of God does there? It gives us great peace. The word in Hebrew is shalom. The world, again, is looking for peace, aren't they? They'll never get the peace that surpasses all understanding. It only comes from God and through His Word. The first place they need to go is to make peace with God. They'll never have peace in this world unless they make peace with God. And there's only one way to make peace with God, and that's through the shed blood of His Son on Calvary. Great peace have those who love your law. We do have peace. And nothing causes us to stumble. 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise. And again, twice we see that he asks for understanding, and he also asks for deliverance according to the word of God. And part, I'm sure, of what had happened when he was studying the scriptures and when we read about his eyes growing dim, I think it's the very fact that his eyes grew dim caused his heart and his faith to be strong. Because his God's word was hidden in his heart. And we see here that his hope was in the living word of God. 175 is the last one in this section of what the Bible does. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. And it is the Word of God that brings life to our soul. And it is the Word of God that even over the past few weeks we've learned how to worship the Lord and to praise Him, even from what we've read in Scripture. Now, for the second section, we'll go back and start all over again. We've seen what the Bible does. Now, the next section, we're going to see what we must do with the Bible. Anybody interested? Okay. Verse 3. It says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So we see in verses 3 through 8 what we must do with the Bible. Notice things like walking in His ways, keeping His precepts diligently, keeping His statutes, praising Him with an uprightness of heart. And again, notice that the terms we find keeping and seeking and all of those things are part of what we're called to do with the Bible, with what we know. Also, what we must do with the Bible, we find 11, 12, and 13. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What are we supposed to do with the Bible? Hide it in our heart. How does that take place, do you suppose? Does that mean you just take the Bible and kind of stick it in here? You know? We had to do that going up on the Temple Mount in Israel. Everybody's hiding their Bibles. No, that's not what he's talking about there. What he's talking about, remember we talked about the sower and the seed in the Gospel of Luke. Good soil. This is seed. And what we need to do is take the good seed of God's Word and bury it deep in good soil so that it bring forth much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And how do we hide God's Word in our hearts? You need to read it. There's no osmosis. You know, you don't just go rub up against somebody that spends a lot of time in the Word and expect it to kind of, you know, rub off on you. It doesn't work that way. What may rub off on you is the verses that they share with you, the living Word of God that you hear, and that'll go into your heart. But I think it's important that we hide God's Word in our hearts. It's important, isn't it? Very, very important. Your Word I have hidden in my heart. We certainly hide other things in our hearts, don't we? I think we need to start hiding God's Word in our heart. Why? That we might not sin against Him. Notice. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared. And so we see our part with the Word of God. Verse 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your Word. Two beautiful verses there of what we're supposed to do with God's Word, right? Meditate upon it. That means shut the TV off. Remove whatever distractions there may be, just for a few moments. Just take time to meditate on God's Word. Just to read something, you know. Oftentimes people say, well, I read and it doesn't really speak to me. And I often tell them, just keep reading until something does speak to you. You know, don't try to do your own in-depth study. Sometimes people say, man, I come to church and I get into a Bible study. Sometimes I wonder, how can I have God speak to me like that? Huh? Read until you find something that really speaks to your heart and then chew on it. And you'll be blown away at what God has to say to you. Notice, he says, with my lips I've declared. Verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And what that means is we're to memorize Scripture. That's part of being a believer, is to meditate the Word of God, meditate and to memorize God's Word. Verse 18, our part. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law or from your Word. We need to prepare our hearts before we read the Word of God. Oftentimes it's good to stop, to pray, ask God to cleanse your heart, your mind, any sin that needs to be confessed before Him. Just clean your heart up before you come before Him, open the Word, and God will speak to you. Go to God's Word in anticipation of wondrous things coming to you from the Scriptures and from the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, you'll be blown away. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. And again, notice it's important. With God's Word, our part is to keep it. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Again, we see that word meditate. That's a word that we're going to find that is what we must be doing with God's Word all through Psalm 119. You're going to see that word a number of times. Verse 26, I have declared my ways and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Again, meditation. Verse 30 through 36, we have a number of things that we see here that we must do with the Bible. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. We're to cling to God's Word. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And I shall keep it to the end. You see God's part? You see our part. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. And so we see a lot of things, don't we, that are our part of doing what God would have us to do. And it delights the Lord when we delight in Him and in His Word. But it's up to us. We have to incline our heart to hear God's Word. You need to make preparation to hear what He has for us. And He will bless your heart. 42, 43, 44. What we must do with the Bible. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me? For I trust in your word. And again, someone reproaches you, God will give you what to say at that particular time. And you know what I found? It's always better to answer them with something from God than something from the flesh. Have you found that out? In the BC days, it was like expletives, right? But now, because we love the Lord and we have the truth, and we can guard our hearts and our minds and our mouths because of the control that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit and knowing God's Word. 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped for your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And that's what Scripture says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away, the Lord said, forever and ever. I will speak of your testimonies, 46 to 48, before kings, and will not be ashamed. And again, God gives us His word. God will allow us to stand before people, and we're not to be ashamed of God's word. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. And again, notice the love that the psalmist has for the word of God. Again, we find the word delight in his commandments, which he loves. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. What a grip the psalmist has on the word of God, would you say? I mean, if I were to have to sit down and write 176 verses myself, I would certainly need the leading of the person of the Holy Spirit. But look at the way he loves the Word of God. Look at the way he handles the Word of God. Look at the respect he has for it. Look at the love he has for it, the joy that he has for the Word of God. And continually, over and over, we see how he delights in God's Word. And oh, that the church would have that delight today. That the body of Christ would love the Word of God. Again, that it wouldn't be a duty, but it would be a delight for all of us to get into the Word of God and hide it in our hearts. Where are we here? Where did I leave off? 48? 51. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. And so we see there how he remembers God's word. Even in times of affliction again and indignation, how he's comforted by the word of God. 55, what we must do with the Bible. He says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. And see how over and over that he keeps the law. It says he keeps the word of God. And it was so precious to him that he kept it in his heart. He says in verse 59, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. You see, because he knew God's word and because he knew the commandments, he responded immediately. And when we know God's Word, and when we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, we respond in the proper way to the Word of God in times of temptation, in times of affliction, whatever it might be. And in those times when we stumble, when we fall, when we trip, when we make wrong decisions, wrong choices, it's because we haven't been spending time in God's Word, time on our knees in prayer, times meditating on God's Word. The cords of the wicked have bound me, 61. But I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Man, this guy was in tune. 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. And again, we see what our part is. 69 and 70. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts within my whole heart. In a world that's filled with lie and gossip and false accusations, isn't it great that we just keep God's word in our hearts? Things like, He will be our vindicator. He's the one that's going to stand on our behalf. Notice he says, their heart is as fat as grease. But I delight in your law. The difference again? For the one who has God's word hidden in his heart, and he knew what to do with the word of God, their hearts were fat as grease, but his heart delighted in God's law. 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Do you see how it's the solution to everything that we face in life? Again, God gives us all that pertains to life and godliness. And man, just to be able to respond in every issue of life with what we find in God's word, what we find in His precepts, His statutes, His law, and the truths that we have in this precious book called the Bible. And why? Because He meditated on it again. You know, you don't wait until you get in a jam to start searching the Scriptures. You prepare in advance. In those times when the enemy's quiet, he's just reloading. And so should we be. In those quiet times, take advantage of it, man. Get into the Word. Get God's Word into your heart. Make preparation. Because it's, as you know, just a matter of time when the darts start flying again. But you know what I find when I'm really pumped up with the Word of God? With the fiery darts, eventually some of them begin to hit existing holes and they don't hurt as much, you know? Because I've been prepared in the Word of God. And, you know, it's like, yeah, things that really used to get to me and bother me early on as a Christian, now with the Word of God and the strength that we find in His precepts and His standards, His commandments and all, it's like, you know, you get the full armor of God on, the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, the whole thing, and it's like, that's where we find our strength. 80. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I might not be ashamed. You see, our part with the Bible is we learn God's truth, we learn His statutes, we learn His precepts, and in doing so, we should have hearts that are blameless. We don't have to walk around just steeped in sin like we used to, right? John tells us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can have hearts that are blameless before Him. No, we're not perfect. But you know what? We can get rid of that sin just like that, just by, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I stand on your word, your commandments, your precepts, your statutes, and I don't have to be ashamed anymore. And that's what the psalmist is saying there in verse 80. Verse 83 to 85, what we must do with the Bible. He says, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? We don't know, right? But we do all have an expiration date. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. But again, because he trusts in God, he knows God is his vindicator, he knows that his days are numbered, he can just rest in the Lord. 94 to 96, what we must do with the Bible. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. Again, it's important for us to seek out God's precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. That's why I love to read the Old Testament. I look at God's track record. Even how he says here, the wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I'll consider your testimonies. And I look in the Old Testament at times when God's people were surrounded with, when the odds were insurmountable. We've seen those stories, right? And then all of a sudden you look and see what God's testimony is. You see God's track record with His people, and it's absolutely perfect. That's why we need to read the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. Genesis 1:1, all the way to the maps in the back. We need every cross T, every dotted I. We need to get a grip on God's Word and allow God's Word to get a grip on us. And then when those times come, you know, when you're surrounded by the enemy, when they seek to destroy you, you can just remember, hey, I remember what happened with, you know, with David when he was surrounded. And I remember what happened with, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember what happened with Noah. And, you know, you look at these stories, these testimonies, and God's faithfulness and God's track record, and you wonder, why in the world do we worry? Why? Because we have more fear at times than faith, because we're not spending time in God's Word. And faith and fear can't dwell together. And so if you're living with fear in your life, get God's Word in your heart, and that faith will push that fear out when you meditate on the testimonies of God. Next one is in verse 106. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. That's our part, to keep it. 108 to 110. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in your hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Again, a grip on the Word of God, no matter what comes his way. 112. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Notice it's an act of the free will, isn't it? To incline our heart to God's Word. It's an act of the free will to line God's will up with ours, to incline our heart towards Him. And that's what he's talking about here. That's so, so important. 108? No. Man, I got so many verses here that I'm getting lost here tonight. 112, 113. If I only get lost a couple times, praise God, I think I'm doing pretty good. Notice 113, our part. He says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So our part is to love God's Word. We don't want to be double-minded. It's the double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways. Stability, again, comes from loving God's law, loving God's Word. 115. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Again, you see man's part, to keep God's commandment. You put away, 119, all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not lead me to my oppressors. And so we see there it's the Word of God that keeps him stable in times of trouble. 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. And again, by knowing the Word of God, his part was to trust in God and knowing that God would act and God would be there right on time. Did you know that God's always on time? Never late? 128. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Why? Because of God's precepts. Again, a reference to God's Word. He says, I consider it to be right, and I hate every false way. Again, you learn to know the counterfeit from the real thing and the counterfeit from the Word of God. 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Boy, here's a guy that loved God's Word so much that he was actually panting. Even as we sing, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O Lord. And we see here that he loved God's Word so much that he panted, that he loved God's commandments. Have you ever felt that way? You ever missed a day or two or three from reading the Word of God? And there have been times I've almost panicked. And yes, there are those times when I miss a couple of days not getting into the Word of God. I think we're all guilty of that at one time or another. And man, it's almost like you're panting, you're thirsting. Man, I got to get into God's Word. I just can hardly wait. It's like, you know, a cool drink of water for my soul. See, and you found another thing about me out tonight here, that I'm about as imperfect as anybody. So I do miss a day or two at times not reading God's Word. 145, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. Again, keeping the Word of God. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your Word. And so we see there, early, even as the day dawns, hoping in the Word of God. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your Word. Many of us, I'm sure, in this room have sleepless nights. What do? You're laying there, and you know, you had that cup of coffee at 12 noon, and all of a sudden it waits till 3 in the morning to kick in. You're going, man, I wish I hadn't drank that Starbucks, you know, whatever it might be. And you know, rather than get up and turn on the Late Late Show or whatever it might be, or do anything else, you know, I just meditate on God's Word. Okay, Lord, why do you have me awake here? I'll pray. Maybe get up, slip out of bed, go downstairs, turn on the light, and read a little bit. It's not wasted time. Those times, as we see here with the psalmist, there's no wasted time when it comes to the Word of God. We can take that time just to meditate on His Word, and what a blessing that is. Where are we at? One more time, I'll ask you. 148? Thank you. 153. I do have them color-coded here tonight, so I don't get that far off track. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. And again, our part is not to forget God's law. 157. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. You see the commitment to the Word of God there? Even with persecutors, enemies, and we all have those. He says, I don't turn from your testimonies. 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. And again, there's that word revive again. And boy, over and over and over, don't we see how the psalmist loves God's Word? 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your Word. Wow, that's one of my favorite verses in all of Psalm 119. Even with the persecution and all without cause, he says, my heart stands in awe of your Word. 163, our part. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Again, we should hate lying. God doesn't color lies. I hear people say, well, that was just a little white lie. You know, God doesn't color lies. A lie is a lie. We're to hate lying, but we're to love truth. God's Word is truth. We're to love the truth. 166 to 68. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Again, you see the love, the obedience, because he loves God's Word. 173. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your Yeshua, salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, and I do not forget your commandments. Wow. You can just sense the stability in his life. No matter what comes his way, good times, bad times, early in the morning, late at night, 24/7. He's always meditating, delighting, loving the Word of God. It just permeates his very soul, his very being. And do you think it's just for him? I think not. I think God has made this all available to you and I. Those of us who would love his Word and hide his Word in our hearts, meditate upon it. I mean, folks, it's amazing what happens when we begin to really draw close to God and His Word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just like the cares of this world, the things of this world just bounce off. You know, things that get us uptight, bum us out, get us oppressed, depressed, stressed, whatever it might be. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Love the Word of God. And I guarantee you, man, you'll have such a defense that these things will just bounce off. Last section. And it's not as long as the other two. What the Bible is. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Did I cover what the Bible is or what the Bible does in the first section? What it does. Okay. What the Bible is now. Good. I thought, oh man, did I hit the wrong one? 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. The riches of God's Word are far beyond what money can buy. And we can see what the Bible is there. He says, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimony, which is the Word of God, as much as in all riches. Nothing can compare to what we have here in this beautiful book called the Bible. What the Bible is, it's rich. 24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So what is the Bible? It's where we seek counsel. It's where we seek the heart and the mind of God when we need counseling. Who is the wonderful counselor? Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Lord. And He's given us godly counsel in His Word. What the Bible is, let's go to verse 54. I told you we're going to pick up speed a little bit. I'm running against the clock back there. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And so the Word of God is like a song in the heart of the psalmist. I believe a lot of the Psalms were written because of the Holy Scriptures and through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the psalmist knew God and it put a song in his heart. 72, what the Bible is. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. How many people really feel that way? That truly feel that way? That God's Word is better than thousands of coins of gold and silver. I would hope that we would feel that way. And I would hope that one of the lessons that we learn here tonight in Psalm 119 is that we have great treasure in this book. Great treasure, far better than silver and gold. 86, what the Bible is. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. And so we see that God's commandments are faithful. God's Word is faithful and true. 89, what God's Word, what the Bible is. Notice this. Isn't this great? This, again, this is right up there in the top 10 of the wonderful verses in Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, verse 89, your word is settled in heaven. Isn't that great? Man, forever His word is settled in heaven. I've seen the old bumper stickers that say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And it's settled in heaven, right there, in black and white. Also, what the Bible is, 90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. And so we find that God's Word, the Bible, endures to all generations. You ever stop and think what it would be like for, say, Moses with the law and the five books of Moses, what he would think if he looked in on this fellowship here tonight? The way we dress, the way we look, hairstyles, whatever it might be, clothing. What would they think? The Old Testament saints. There's a difference, of course, in culture and the way they lived, right? Look at the technology we have today. But no other book but the Bible endures to all generations. It fits everybody absolutely perfect. Where does it fit? Right here. Right in our hearts. Is that not incredible? That throughout 6,000 years of generations of people, that this book endures to all generations and even generations to come. I don't know how many will follow us out of here. We could be the last one. Who knows? But isn't it incredible that this book is faithful to all generations? They continue, 91, this day, according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. what the Bible is? Sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. And he says, how sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. No other book like this one. 105, I mentioned we'll get to this one. What the Bible is. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Always. It's always a lamp. It's always a light. The Scripture tells us that we walk in a world of darkness. God sheds His light upon our path with His word. 111. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And again, testimonies speaks of the Word of God. He says, I have taken as a heritage forever and ever and ever and ever. And again, it talks about all generations, doesn't it? 127. What God's Word does. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Priceless. 130. The entrance of your words give light. Gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's right up there in the top 10 with me. Simple means stupid. And many of us were pretty stupid in the things that we did out there in the world before we came to know the Lord. Many of us thought we were pretty smart, didn't we? The entrance of God's Word gives us light. Light always dispels darkness, doesn't it? Gives understanding to the simple. Praise God. You know, simplicity of God's Word. He gives us understanding to simple people. Wow. You know, God's Word is so simple that even little kids can understand it. Same book we teach out of here goes to the Sunday school kids and the middle school kids and the high school kids and all. It's God's Word. It's simple. Providing we keep it simple. I know there are those theologians out there that try to confuse people. And, you know, it's like, keep it simple, saint. You almost thought I was going to say something else, huh? Keep it simple, saint. 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. Righteous, of course, is that which is right. 140. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Find that again in Psalm 19. The statutes of the Lord are pure, making wise the simple, the psalmist writes. God's word is very pure. Isn't that beautiful? Very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteous, and your law is truth. That's what the Bible is. It's truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Again, that's what the Bible is. It's everlasting. It gives us understanding, and it gives us life. 151, 152. The Bible is, as we've seen so far, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. The Bible is truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Again, everlasting to everlasting. 160, almost there. Put your sleeping bags away. The Bible is. The entirety of your word is truth. You know, there's people today that are foolish enough to argue that. There are those that say, well, let me tell you from my seminary education which scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and which ones aren't. And they begin to tell you which ones aren't inspired by the Holy Spirit, which makes them the expert on the Word of God rather than God the expert on His Word. My Bible tells me that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And even the psalmist confirms that. The word entirety, what does that mean? Hello? The entirety of your Word is truth. Every bit of it. Every cross T, every dotted I is truth. I love that. And you know what, folks? The day that I don't believe that, you won't see me in this pulpit. You won't see me in ministry anymore. And it brings such great joy to my heart to be able to stand before a group of people, wherever it may be, and hold a book in my hands and be assured 100% that in its entirety, this book is truth. And I will lay my life on it. And you need to, too. Well, look what we've seen. We just scratched the surface tonight. This is it. This is the entire Word of God. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. I got two more verses for you and we're done. Should I drag them out? No, we'll finish right up here. What the Bible is, he says, 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. And I would hope that that would be true in your heart tonight. I hope that every one of us is rejoicing in the truth of God's word. That there's just a special love and a joy in your heart tonight that you never had before about God's word. And I encourage you to go back on occasion and read through Psalm 119 and just stop and meditate on the wonderful things that we've seen about the word of God. And we should rejoice at his word. Don't you rejoice at his word? I do. I really rejoice at God's word. I don't just have to get myself amped up and pumped up here and go team go and be a cheerleader every Wednesday and Sunday. I don't do that. Those of you that know me, that we hang out, play golf, whatever it might be, I always rejoice in the Word of God. I love God's Word. It's just, man, it's just such a blessing. You know, that God has entrusted His Word to you and to me. And that we're born again and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have life. We have God's Word, His truth. We should rejoice at His Word. What would you do if you found a great treasure? Would you go, treasure? Oh, well, it's just a great treasure. You know, does anybody, when they find a great treasure, do that? No. I'm not even going to try to reenact what it would be like for me to find a great treasure. I remember one time I shared, and this is so true. If we advertise in the Desert Sun or put it in the... We probably wouldn't even have to advertise. If I said this next coming Sunday that I will give you every number in the lottery, how many folks do you suppose would show up to church next week? Really, honestly. And I guarantee you the front row would not be empty. You would not be able to get near this place. You wouldn't. Because people want the silver, they want the gold, they want the treasure. They think that the answer to life is to hit the lotto. Great treasure. You see where I'm going with this? Why don't we get just as excited about the Word of God as if we have found a great treasure? Man, come on. And again, I'm not getting the pom-poms out, go team, go, and all that. You know, I don't do that. But I hope tonight that we can really kind of get back to the basics of what is really, really important in our relationship with God. And part of that is spending time in His Word. I rejoice at your Word as one who finds not just a treasure, but great treasure. Don't go telling everybody we're going to have the numbers to the lottery here Sunday morning. But don't you think that would be true? Don't you think the place of... They'd have to have policemen out of Monterey and Portola to direct traffic to get near this place because everybody would want the numbers to the lottery. But if you said, I'm going to give you the words of eternal life, how many people would show? You know? And I guarantee you, people wouldn't be late for church if they really understood the treasure that we have here. More than any lottery, more than any material thing that this world has to offer. It's all dung. The Apostle Paul says it's dung. I don't have to give you the original language on that one. You know what dung is, you know? Last one. My tongue, 172, shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And that's the last one that has to do with what the Bible is. All his commandments are righteous. Every word, every bit, every one. And it really irritates me that they have to remove the Ten Commandments from our court buildings and whatever. Can anybody in the room find fault with any of the Ten Commandments? Honestly. How sad is that? That it's truth and it's God's Word and it's God-breathed and it's righteous and it's holy. And, you know, we don't live under the law, but wouldn't it be a better world if everybody kept the Ten Commandments? There wouldn't be stealing, murdering, whatever. It's like, man. God's Word, how precious it is. Meditate upon it. Hide it in your heart. Get it deep within you. Make a commitment between you and God to just spend a little bit more time in God's Word, starting tonight or tomorrow morning. Get up in the morning, just say, you know, when you open your eyes, good morning, Lord, I love you. Help me to delight in your Word this morning. Get your Bible, get your cup of Java, tea, whatever you drink in the morning, and just go and find a quiet place, open up God's Word, spend time meditating on God's Word, and watch what happens in your day tomorrow. You know, you'll have just the best day ever. And I just believe if we will kind of get back to the basics of who we are in Christ Jesus and really truly thank God for the great treasure that we have in His Word, I think every one of us will change individually and corporately as Calvary Chapel Palm Desert, as the body of Christ throughout the whole world. And I guess the challenge tonight is just get back to that great treasure that God has given us. And guess what? We got through 176 verses. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and let's go. Lord, thanks so much for your Word. And Lord, I was even challenged again tonight in just the way that the psalmist loved and treated your Word. Forgive me, Lord, for those times when I miss a day or two. Forgive me, Lord, for those times when I just kind of take it for granted that I have this great treasure in my hands. And Lord, may that treasure go from being in my hands to being in my heart. Help us to meditate upon it, to hide it in our heart. Help us, Lord, to love your Word. We know it's sweeter than honey. We know that it gives us wisdom. It gives us knowledge. Lord, you give us all that pertains to life and godliness in it. So change us. From this moment forth, Lord, may our perspective and outlook upon this great treasure called the Bible be different, Lord. And thank you so much for tonight, that we didn't need our sleeping bags. But Lord, may we just, as we lay our heads on the pillow tonight, just give thanks to you for your Word. Give thanks to you for salvation. Give thanks to you for all the wonderful promises you've given us and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.